Father, we do thank you for that solid rock. Thank you for the foundation that you provide in our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the spirit that I sense in many of these young people, Lord, just the clarity, the zeal, the the godly hearts, Lord, the desire I sense there. And would you bless them as they go home? Would you fill them with your spirit? And would you enable them to take practical steps and growing deeper and deeper in their Christian life, Lord. Bless me now as I seek to share. Pray for clarity of thought and your grace and anointing on my life as I share, Lord. May it be clear and easy to follow. And we pray that it can be helpful and that you'd be glorified and that you would be raising up laborers for your kingdom who walk with you in very practical ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would somebody maybe in the back want to get me a bottle of water, please? Thank you. Well, greetings. God bless you, young people. It's been a good week. It's been stretching for me, but it's also been a very good study for me. And I, as I said earlier in that one message, that this has been an inspiration to me. Thank you, brother. I've prayed more for the anointing of the Holy Spirit since this, and I've sought to. Yeah, it's been helpful for me. There's a few questions that came in, and we're missing one question. One of the administrators told me that there was a question that came in that got misplaced, so we apologize for that. If your question is not answered, feel free to come personally and talk to me about that. We apologize for that. Someone asked me yesterday. Jesus says that that the church is going to do greater works than he did. And what are those greater works? And that's quite a question. I don't know what those are myself exactly. I have some thoughts. Would welcome thoughts that you all might have. But I don't know what more you can do as far as healing people than what Jesus did. You know, what more can you do than raising a dead person to life or giving sight to blind? What more is there to do in those lines there? But one thing that Jesus did not do is he was not yet able, because the Holy Spirit was not given, I guess, he was not able to have a unified body of believers. At the very end, the Last Supper, they're still arguing over position. And I believe it takes a miracle of God to have a Jew and a Gentile in loving harmony in a brotherhood. So is that the greater works? I don't know. I wonder if that's not what he's talking about. To have brothers who once couldn't stand each other, lay those things down and walk together in love and harmony. It takes a miracle of God. That's possible with the Holy Spirit working in both of our hearts. The unity of the Spirit is able to bring that middle wall of partition down, and you can have Jew and Gentile blessing each other in a brotherhood. Someone had the question about is it right to pray to the Spirit or something along those lines? And what about the songs we have? I don't pray to the spirits. The scripture doesn't say that we shouldn't, but all the examples you see in the Word of God is mostly praying to God in Jesus' name. Also, there's prayers in here to Jesus, so I think either of those are fine. So I would encourage you to pray to the Father and to the Son and rather than to the Spirit. But, you know, as I said, that's just the examples we see in the scripture is to pray to the Father and to the Son. What about the songs we have? Come Gracious Spirit. I love that song. I sing that song. There's many beautiful songs that are addressed to the Holy Spirit, and I sing those songs. I have no issue with that. So that's just my heart where I find myself along those lines there. One thing I want to mention here that I did not mention in this study yet directly is the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. I think you all know that, but I think it's just good to say that. There's a lot of people out there that claim, yeah, the Bible says this, but I have a special exemption from God. God personally told me it's okay. The Spirit does not do that. Remember how we talked about the Spirit is subject to the Father and the Son. He does not speak of himself, it says, right? He speaks what he hears, and he's under authority. And he will not tell you to do something that contradicts the Word of God. That's a very dangerous ground to be on. Another thing that might be good to mention here is the Holy Spirit does not force or overpower us. He entreats, he begs. He can come on you with great power and fill you and enable you to accomplish the work of God with supernatural ability. But he will not force your will. He stands at the door and knocks. And you can quench the Spirit. You can grieve the Spirit. And also, you can never blame what you did on the Holy Spirit. You know, if I'm up here and I just preach and preach and preach and I don't get down on when my time's up, I can't blame that on the Holy Spirit, right? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, the scripture says. We are responsible for what we do, and the Holy Spirit does not overpower us in that way. So those are a few things I just wanted to mention here. And if there's more questions you have, feel very free, and we apologize if we missed some things along the way. So we looked at, just by way of review here at the last session here, the Holy Spirit is a person, not just a power. He's part of the Trinity. He is Jesus dwelling in our heart. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom, boldness, power, and anointing to serve God. He changes fearful men into courageous men. He comforts, helps, leads us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is part of our inheritance as Christians. It's not for the elite, not just for the elite. It's for sons and daughters, men servants and maid servants. Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit. He had all there is to have. Jesus didn't do anything weird. He selflessly served others. And the more we have the Spirit in our lives, the more our lives should resemble Jesus. So that was just a very quick overview of what we looked at so far. This morning we want to look at walking in the Spirit. That's my title today, walking in the Spirit. And so my prayer this morning is that I can make that simple for you, easy to understand. In Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. God's will is that if we're a child of God and that the Spirit is in the inner circle of our inner being, that we live that out practically. We walk in the Spirit. That we go through the day in tune with the Spirit of God. We are born of the Spirit. He moves in at conversion. We talked about that already. He's in there. How much control do we give him? Do I quench or grieve him? God's will is that more and more of the Spirit would control and govern my life, and more my flesh would be crucified and brought into his subjection, that I would be more and more operating in the Spirit. Let me see your hands. How many of you, just to be very honest, it's not a trick question at all, but how many of you feel like you understand what it means to walk in the Spirit? Just raise your hand. It's kind of weak. How many of you feel like you don't know what that means? It's fine. Put your hands up. Okay, there's some that aren't raising them either way, so that's okay. It doesn't really matter. I just wanted to hear, and maybe you feel like you somewhat know, somewhat don't. I really think a lot of you actually do know what it means. If you're a child of God, I think you do know what it means. But I'd like to make it more clear if I could. A lot of it is common sense. I'll just tell you a little story of myself. There was one day at work years ago. It was a long time ago, of course, right? You know, yeah. But there was a time at work a number of years ago that I was working at Dutchman's down there, and I forget what was going on, what we were talking about. I think I was joking a bit. I was getting some screws for a customer, and I was in that. I wouldn't say I was walking the Spirit at the time. I was a bit foolish, and then this customer, he asked me a spiritual question, and it caught me off guard. And I felt like I had I felt rebuked. I felt like I had to switch from being who I was to something else. You follow that? Does that make sense? I wasn't in the right spirit to really engage in that conversation. I felt like I had to switch modes. I don't know if you can follow that. That's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, I believe, my understanding is that at any moment you can enter into that conversation. You're never that far away from, you can do your work, but you're always in a frame of mind where you can just seamlessly switch into the spiritual realm and have a spiritual conversation without having to put something else on. Does that make sense? So I felt rebuked there because here he was, I forget what the question was, but it was something of a spiritual nature, and I felt like that how I was acting earlier didn't fit with that. So that's maybe a little beginning of walking in the Spirit. God is never far from our thoughts, and we may not always have feelings. I don't believe that just because we don't have this powerful feeling that we're not walking in the Spirit. We don't always have, you know, it's nice to have those feelings, but we're not going to always have those super spiritual feelings. We may keenly feel our need, but yet we're seeking to depend on God. We're leaning hard on Him as we walk. Walking in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, young people, is not just for the elite. Just that, as we looked at, that the having the Spirit of God is being filled with the Spirit of God is not just for the preachers and the old people and the elders. Walking in the Spirit is God's will for every single one of you. It's the only way you'll fulfill the high calling that Brother Benji lifted up to us, right? How many of you felt overwhelmed with that? I did. It's the only way you'll be able to fulfill that high calling is walking in the Spirit during the day. Walking in the Spirit should be the normal Christian life. It should not be the exception. We shouldn't come to the end of our day and we're like, wow, today I actually walked in the Spirit. No, we don't always get it perfect, but it should be normal. It should be normal for you to be walking in the Spirit regularly as you live your Christian life. Maybe another illustration that could be helpful. Then we'll look at some scriptures. Let's say there's a church camp out. We have those. And, you know, there's a lot of activities at church camp out. It gets dark in the evening. There's a lot of games and stuff, interaction that goes on, depending how you do it. Let's say that I'm there and I have two of my boys with me, and they're just young boys. And one boy, he's really connected with me. He stays close by me. He holds my hand, Brother Benji, and he asks permission before he goes and does things. He's always reporting back. You know, he's never really that far away. He's in tune with Dad, and things just go well. Things flow. The other boy, there's a lot of pool out there. You know, he sees all the things, fun things going on, and he finds himself, where's Dad? I forgot where Dad got to, and he's over doing his own thing, and then Dad comes looking for him, and. You know, this is a dad response. You know, that's how it is. Dad has some responsibility too, but I'm giving it to you in the context of the boys. And which one of those boys is most likely to get in trouble? The first or second? Second. Do you think that first boy is going to have anything to apologize? Think he's going to get in trouble that day? No. He's staying close with Dad. He likes holding Dad's hand. He likes sitting beside Dad. He likes to talk to Dad, and he's never really out of sync. You know, though he might go and do some things, there's always kind of a connection back to Dad. And he will not have things to he won't get in trouble if he walks that way. I believe that's a little picture of walking in the Spirit of God. You know, also, a beautiful thing there is when we walk as that first son, Dad's strength is my strength. There's a treasure here. There's a secret here, brothers and sisters, of being in Christ. And I think this whole thing of walking in the Spirit, I think it says walking in the Spirit, it says being in the Spirit, it mentions praying in the Spirit, it mentions being in Christ, it mentions abiding in Him, He in us, All these things, I think, are all wrapped up here in a similar truth. And there's a secret here for us of being in Christ. And I don't feel like I fully understand it. But when we're walking that way, when this little boy is walking that way, what if he faces a big challenge? What's just natural to do then? What if he faces a situation at that camp out? He's not sure what to do. He has somebody to go to. He has somebody that has wisdom. He has somebody that is strong. You know, if there's an obstacle that he just can't overcome, there's a problem, Dad can come fix it. And when we're in Christ, his strength becomes our strength. His resources are available to us. His riches are our riches. And his life is our life. And when we're in him, he'll help you throughout that day. You know, he'll help you to live out that life that Brother Benji was talking about there that you know you can't do. When you walk with him that way, all of his grace is available to you. There's a secret there to being in him. We're safe in him. We have what we need in him. As we abide in him, we bear fruit. Turn to Romans 8, if you would please. Romans 8, verse 1. This is a chapter that talks much about the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. We'll read the first 8 verses here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I just want to point out a few things here to try to help make walking in the Spirit simple to us. And that is, look at verse 1 there. It talks about walking after the flesh versus walking after the Spirit. So let's say you start your day and you, let's say someone is walking after the flesh. What's going to be some tendency? What's that going to look like? Somebody name a few things here. If I'm walking after the flesh, what are some signs of that? I'm sorry? Giving in to temptation. Very good. Strife? What was that, strife? Okay, strife, something else?
Getting easily frustrated.
Bad attitudes. Argument. Laziness. A lot of these things. So walking after the flesh, kind of doing what we feel like, right? We're giving in to what our flesh wants. I think we understand that, right? So then, but then walking after the Spirit, what's that going to look like? It's going to be the opposite of those things, right? There's going to be the fruits of the Spirit coming out of our life. So, and very, very practically, we're thinking about what God would want me to do, right? We're thinking about what God would want me to do. We're thinking about what God would think about this, and we're seeking to crucify the flesh and walk after the Spirit. Our minds are on the things of God. Look down now to verse 4. Again, walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see the same phrases there again. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind. What's that mean? What does it mean to mind the things of the flesh? I'm sorry?
Care about.
Very good. Pay attention to. What's that? Think about. Yes. I believe, brothers and sisters, this whole thing of walking the Spirit has a lot to do with our mind. They that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally what? Verse 6, minded is death, but to be spiritually what? Minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, what? Mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So very simply, I think where our mind tends to go, where, you know, what we're paying attention to, what we're, I believe if we're walking in the Spirit, the things of the God will never be very far away from our mind, right? Just make it very simple here. Spiritually minded versus carnal minded. So if you go all day long and you're thinking about carnal, fleshly things, are you walking in the Spirit? No. Think about worldly pursuits and ambitions and dreams. Are you walking in the Spirit? No. But if you walk, but if you go through the day and you're singing, and you're thinking about maybe some, you know, whatever it is, needs in your life, or praying for a brother, or how to be a blessing, those things. If your mind's on the things of God, I believe you're walking in the Spirit. A lot of it has to do with where our mind, like the rubber band Brother Mickey was talking about. Can God fill a vessel that is full of flesh? You know, if we want to fill a cup and it's with pure water and there's a lot of flesh in there, I don't believe it's God will fill a vessel that is full of flesh. There's a need for brokenness and death to self and having a spiritual mind. Turn now to John 15. John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean. Where am I at? Through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I love this passage. It's a beautiful passage. How do you and I produce fruit? By abiding in him. Do we pump it real hard? Do we pump our own selves? And we got to just really pump it, and then we finally get some fruit on the vine? No, we abide in him. And like I said earlier, his strength becomes our strength. Grace begins to flow in our life as we abide in him. And we maintain that connection. I mentioned our mind, I want to talk about connection, you know, and it's through our spirit. Our spirit is, throughout the day, our spirit is just, it's easy to connect. It's easy to enter into the spiritual as we go about our work. We have to focus on our work and talk to people, but yet the spiritual is just, it's just right there within reach all day long. That can maintain the connection is how the fruit is produced. Now, I have a theory. You help me out in this. You know, think about the little boy's illustration there. Thinking about this connection here. And as we abide in him, his strength is our strength. And he provides us the grace we need to bear fruit. I have a question for us here. And this is my question I've been asking myself. Do we sin in that place? Some people said no. I'm not asking you necessarily for an answer. But I wonder if we can we have victory? Can we have some consistent victory as we abide in him? I think we can. The question I'm asking is the only reason we sin is because we're like that little boy that runs off? You know, I wonder if there's not a secret here to living a life of victory. And John 1, 1 John 3:6 says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And, I don't know if that word is, I think that I didn't look that word up, but I think it has the idea of continuing, practicing sin. But I wonder, it's a question I've been asking myself. I wonder if the only reason we sin is because we break that connection. We wander off like the little, not a little boy, and we get into trouble because we're not with Dad. So just get into some practicals here. Does it make it a little easier, simpler? My prayer is that I can make walking in the Spirit simple to understand. Our mind with Him, a connection with Him. Some practicals. Singing. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says here, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." I think one of the ways to maintain that connection throughout the day is to sing. Brother John D. says that singing connects us with the spiritual instantly. It instantly puts us on the edge of the supernatural, I think is what he said. There's something spiritual about singing. And the context here is that I get here, that I wonder if the two verses aren't connected here. One of the ways to be filled with the Spirit is to sing. You sing as throughout the day, and there's a it helps you to maintain that connection with God through the Spirit as you sing. Sing as you work. It blesses you and it blesses those around you. I believe it's one of the ways to be filled with the Spirit of God. Some practicals. Sing. Another one, pray. Throughout the Scripture, we see a number of verses in the New Testament about praying always, praying without ceasing, being instant in prayer. A number of scriptures there that give the idea that prayer should always be just a breath away. You know, we should be able to just throughout the day, as we do our work, just be seamlessly flowing in the Spirit, focusing on our work, but then our mind being back to the Lord in prayer. And this is a challenge to me. I didn't ask Brother Isaac if I could share this, but I will anyway. I think he'll be fine with it. But we work together, Brother Isaac and I, and we build fence. And there's sometimes, I don't do it much, but I do sometimes operate the skid steer when we're stretching a stretch of of wire. He has this attachment on the skid steer that holds a spool of woven wire, and clamps it, and you can stretch it with using the skid steer's traction. And so you have to really be in tune with each other when you do that because, he's given directions and stuff. And at times we'll use our phones, we'll call each other if it's a long stretch, he's way down there. And we'll be, with a headset, we can each talk to each other. And so there's times that you're on the phone with each other for some time. And a while back we were stretching some wire and we were kind of done there. I forget, we're not quite ready yet, but we had made the phone connection. And he's there going along working, and we had talked a little bit and given each other some communication, and it was a quiet time as he was taking care of some other things. And I was just kind of waiting for more direction, and he was there just kind of humming along. I heard him breathe under his breath, "Thank you, Lord." I don't know what he was thinking about, but I heard him just breathe that prayer, "Thank you, Lord," about something. And I think it's a picture of how it should be when God is never far from our thoughts. And there's this... well, they're working. We're stretching this wire, and we're wanting to do a good job and get it right. But yet, God is just right there. I believe it's walking in the Spirit. So, a few things I think that will. So, those are some things: singing, praying, and I'm sure there's more things as well that help to maintain that. But a few things that are on the negative side that I think we should warn about that I think will quench the Spirit. Or that will grieve the Spirit, or will break the connection. You know how it is. So throughout the day, you feel like you lost the connection. I know what that's like. And you just like some of the Psalms. Where, Lord, are you? David says, I just feel like I lost the connection. Foolishness is one of those things that will break the connection. I mentioned that, about the way that the screw's there, right, with the customer. The scripture says to exhort young men to be sober-minded. Young men, we have, and I believe it applies for the sisters as well. I don't think y'all are exempt. Girls can be silly too. But we have a tendency to just gravitate towards foolishness, cutting up, joking, being silly. And I'm not saying we should be gloomy and long-faced. I believe we can have joy. I believe there's a place for some laughter and humor. We have that on the job. I think it's a blessing. I enjoy the interaction we have. I think it's healthy. But there's a point where it crosses over into foolishness. And that'll grieve the Spirit of God every time. You can't just drift back into the spiritual when you're there. You know what I'm saying? You can't just drift right back into the spiritual. Ephesians 5:1-4, it says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." So he's giving us some example, some exhortation here of how to walk with God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet savor. But fornication, oh, we say amen, of course, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, we say amen. But then he says, neither foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather what? Giving of thanks. It's always right to be in the spirit of thanksgiving. Good job, brother. Bless you for that. Thank you for that. Isaac, thank you, Lord. That prayer he breathed there. It's always right to be in a spirit of thanksgiving. It's one of the ways to walk in the Spirit. Foolishness. Foolishness will quench the Spirit of God and break that connection. Young men and women exhort to be sober-minded. Sin, it's obvious. Sin will cause us to lose our connection. It says, your iniquities have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin in your life will break that connection. Why is God so far away? Check your life. Is there sin in your life? In Acts 5:32, it says that we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And it's just kind of common sense, right? If we want God to fill us with his Spirit, we're going to have to be like Fletcher. Remember I talked about Fletcher in the poly shop there? We're going to have to be in tune with him. We're going to have to be working for his cause. We're going to have to be under our Father's authority and in step with him. We can't expect God to fill us with his Holy Spirit if we're not walking in obedience. No hidden sin in my life. Clarity. If you fall, repent and get back up and find that connection with God again and keep walking. Clear it and get back in the battle. I might just mention here gray. Gray. Is gray black or white? Well, it's a blend of both. I'm just going to say a lot of gray will break that connection. If you just kind of crowd the line, if you have a carnal heart, and you're just kind of on the edge, and you just kind of neither hot or cold, think God's going to fill a person with the Spirit that's neither hot or cold? I don't believe so. It's operating in a lot of gray. It's not really wrong, but yet it's not really excellent. And you just kind of you operate a lot in the gray there. There's going to be a fog. There's going to be a cloud. You won't be close to God. Become serious. Become zealous. Seek God wholeheartedly and pour your life and energies into things that are clearly godly and holy. And eliminate those gray areas out of your life. Another one here, disrespect for authorities will cause you to lose your connection. We've heard a lot about that this week. Be fully under your parents' blessing. Don't twist their arm. Respect your authorities. There's a blessing that follows those who do that, right? That it may be well with you and you live long on the earth. There's a blessing that comes when God sees a heart that honors mom and dad. And lastly here, in this first point here, feeding and nurturing your inner man. I wonder, it'd be good for us if God could help us to see how our inner man is. I'm not sure how to illustrate it here, but just, you know, I get a picture of some sickly, shriveled up. You know, we have a neighbor there as a young man. Yeah, I saw him a few times, and he just, I think he's on the computer a lot. He's just skinny arms, just he probably doesn't eat very good, have a good diet, he doesn't exercise, and he's kind of puny and just very thin, pale, and just looks very weak and sickly. You know, probably spends a lot of time on games and such. Maybe he has some health issues. I don't want to judge him falsely. But I wonder how it'd be good for us if God could help us to see how our inner man is. You know, we have, if we're going to prosper spiritually, we're going to have to feed and nurture our inner man. We can't be living after the flesh and expect our inner man to be strong and robust. We have to give attention to him and make sure that he's nourished and fed and that he's well cared for. Feeding and nurturing your inner man is a very important thing to walking in the Spirit of God. Okay, going on here, time is moving on. Number two, that was number one, and that was walking in the Spirit. Number two, I want to talk a little bit about deeper times with God. I'm not sure. Deeper experiences with in the Spirit. I believe we need both. I try to make walking in the Spirit very simple. But there's also, I think, a thing of, I'll explain it here. It says in the book of Revelation that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What do you think that looked like? John's there all by himself on the Isle of Patmos. I wonder if that old disciple, that old man of God, I believe he'd been walking in the Spirit all day long, right? But the Lord's day came. And I don't know what that looked like there. He didn't have to get away. He was by himself already, right? But there, I get the idea that he set time, a special time aside. You just have to enter in deeper with God. Was he meditating? Was he spending time in the Word if he had the Bible there? I don't know. But I wonder what was going on there as he sought to just connect with God in an extra, deep, meaningful, close way. To enter in deep with God. Did Jesus walk with God all day long? He did. But Jesus himself, he went out on the mountain and he had a deeper connection with God there, away from everything else. The world shut out, other things, distractions. I'll just be honest. I face a lot of distractions in my quiet time. I have a hard time with it. You know, here I preach about these things. I preach about walking in the Spirit. I'll just be honest. I struggle seriously with distractions. Just I have a hard time, you know, just shutting out and focusing. It takes a lot of effort for me. I don't feel like I do well in that. Distractions. I believe we need these times. And as a young person, there was a lot of days I just felt like I lost that connection. I just wasn't sure where I was with God. I just wasn't sure how it was. And I would often go out and spend a season alone with God just trying to regain that connection. I would recommend that to you. You know, if you feel like you can't make it all day long, you know, have times where you go out and you just enter into a deeper experience with God and the Spirit. I remember being in the hay mound and just being overwhelmed with God. Remember one time just being in the attic, just overwhelmed with God's goodness. I recommend those times to you. Well, you need those times where you go deeper with God, where God becomes very real to you, where you feel His love, where God is close. And David said, in your presence, fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Brother and sister, there is a place in the presence of God where you are just, your inner man is fully satisfied. You would rather be no other place. God is so real. God is so close. God is so precious. There are those deeper experiences that I would like to recommend to you as you walk with God. We need those times. Jesus did, don't we? We absolutely do. So it takes both. It takes that walking, but it also takes those deeper times of going deeper with God. Let me get my notes here. Mention a little bit about holiness here. Number three, holiness. Help me out here. We're talking this week about the what spirit? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us into a life of holiness. Don't forget that. We talked about that some yesterday. I won't spend a lot of time on that. But again, the more we receive the Spirit, the more our lives should, the more holiness should come into our lives. May God give us scores of men and women who walk with God, who are becoming prepared vessels, who are filled with the Spirit, who are living holy lives in everyday life, Brother Benji. Learning to be patient, loving servants with their siblings and parents, reaching out, ministering in your own church and community. The Holy Spirit will lead us into a life of holiness and service of others. The Holy Spirit will begin to do a work of sanctification in your life. And as we heard this morning, that won't all be easy. The Spirit immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. There was some testings he had to go through. I don't understand all those things. But the Holy Spirit will not necessarily make your life more easy. He will allow you to go through very, very stretching times. I feel at times in my life like I was a piece of leather. You know when you tan a hide, you got to really work that thing over. I did a few hides in my life, and I failed on most of them because I failed that point right there. But a hide, as it begins to cure, it wants to naturally get draw together and get stiff and shrink together. And in order for that leather to be nice and soft, it's got to be worked seriously. Now, I sometimes felt like God was just working me over like a piece of leather, just stretching and breaking those fibers and wanting me to become soft. And there's still a lot of that needs to happen in my life. And I still feel that way at times. God will take you under trials, difficulties, frustrations, injustices, things in your life that you want to chafe under. He has your good in mind. Submit to it. Trust Him. Humble yourself and walk with Him. Trust Him in those things. Your parents may have a lot of needs and failures. I know some of you do. My heart goes out to you. I know some of you that have those things. But if you look to God for grace and honor them anyway, God will use it for good in your life. Those difficult things that you want to chafe under. Number four here, I want to here at the end talk a little more about emotional healing. I mentioned that in the first message. I was impressed as I studied this subject with the amount of verses that talk about how the Holy Spirit also ministers to our inner emotional being that is very insecure at times, that has a lot of fears at times, that has anxieties. So I might ask you a few questions. Have you found that security and love in your Heavenly Father? Have you found Him to be your Abba Father, personal daddy? The Holy Spirit wants to provide that in your heart. Or do you still feel like an orphan? We talked about orphans, right? Remember that? God does not want you to be an orphan. You don't need to be an orphan. Has the love of God been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost? God wants to shed His love, fill you with His love. Have you received His love? And know that you are beloved of Him. You're His child and He loves you. Have you been able to receive that love? Have you opened your heart to the Holy Spirit, shedding that love abroad in your heart? Have you experienced the comfort of the Holy Ghost? God wants you to experience the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3:16. Verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, this happens by the Holy Spirit. Are you rooted and grounded in the love of God? Are you established? You have a solid foundation in your life that you know that God loves you and you're His child. It's God's will that you are rooted and grounded in love. Not just the fear. Yes, that's very important as well. But that you be rooted and grounded in His love. You know that God loves you. The Holy Spirit wants to shed that abroad in your heart. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Have you ever been in the Spirit, alone in prayer with God, and were simply overwhelmed with love of God? Tears come to your eyes as you just think of the goodness of God in your life. It should happen in your life if it hasn't. Romans 8:15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Which one do you have? Do you have that spirit of bondage to fear? Or has the Holy Spirit become real in your own heart to where you're able to cry, Abba, Father, and you're an adopted child of God? Or do you still have that spirit of fear in your life? You're not sure where you are with God. God wants to shed His love abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Praise God, we have someone to turn to, a place to go to for help. So much changes when we find the security in our life in our Father God. Ask God to reveal Himself to you by His Spirit. If you don't feel this, if you're not there, just make it a matter of prayer. Make it a matter that God would reveal His love to you, that He would give you that security that He wants you to have in your life, that He would give you this foundation of love in your life. It's His will to do that. Just make it a matter of prayer, regular prayer. God, I feel like I just don't know You. Would You reveal Your love to me? Would You help me to find this security in my life with You? Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the will of God for us. Too many of us are living as fatherless and orphans and are not experiencing this emotional foundation in our inner man. God wants to minister to our inner man by His Spirit and bring that comfort, that healing, that strengthening that we need. And when we find this in God, it just provides a security. You know, we still share with people. Yeah, we go to people. We get advice. We get help. We still go to people with our problems. But we have a God, a Father to go to. And that brought such stability in my life. When I knew I could go out and seek God, and He would give me an answer. I could come back home with a song in my heart, and with answers, and with hope in my life, and just a confidence in the Lord. I'm no stranger to struggles, but I also know what it is to find some answers in God. And God has those answers for us through the means of His Spirit. God bless you. God meet each one of your needs. Thank you for your hearts. Thank you for your... And may God, as you seek the Lord, I just want to leave that with you. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I remember that one time there in the attic, I was overwhelmed with God's goodness to me, and I connected it to seeking God. I saw His faithfulness, but I also saw that it was through just continual crying out, seeking God. I remember on the tractor seat just crying out loud to God that God would give me answers for my life. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So may God fill you. May the Holy Spirit go with you, and may you walk in the Spirit, and may you, as you have your hand in His, find His strength to be your strength for whatever you face. God bless you.